सहनाभवतु ओम ब्रह्मानंदम परम सुखदम केवलम ज्ञानमूर्तिम द्वंद्वातीतम गगन सदृशम तत्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम एकम नित्यम विमलमचलम सर्वदी साक्षिभूतम भावातीतम त्रिगुणरहितम सद्गुरुम तम नमामि। ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। हरिः ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम ओम समस्त जन कल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्म विद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्म विद्वरं। सो लास्ट टाइम वी सॉ verses 13 to 18, which is a description, there is further description, but which is a description of Kshetrajna. And I'm just going to proceed today, but is there any questions on this part? Everybody remembers the electricity example. Please don't forget. We're going to bring it back again. Plus, we are going to introduce a new example today so that you can understand the further verses. So, any questions at this point? Everybody's okay till 18? Everybody's fine? Okay, good. So let's go on to then 19, verse 19. Jyotishamapi tad jyotihi tamasah paramuchyate jnanam neyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishthitam. That the light of that which is to be known is said to be beyond darkness. Knowledge, that which is to be known, and the goal of knowledge seated in the hearts of all. So let's start with Jyotisham Api Tad Jyotihi. The first words, literally translated, they mean light of all lights. So this is a description of Neyam still, huh? We are still, Bhagavan is still describing God. I told you, Neyam is what is God, Supreme Reality, Purusha, Kshetrajna. So now another description is given. It is the light of all lights. So we need to understand what it means. If you take a glowworm and at night it glows and there is light, but in daylight, if that glowworm glows, will anybody see it? It can't, right? But you can light a candle in daylight and people can see it. But if you take that candle in the burning midday sun, very, very, when it's right on the horizon and the sun is shining extremely, extremely bright, then the candle will not have that much effect. The candle light is not going to be falling around everywhere because the sunlight is going to overpower that candle light. Correct? Okay, so when we say light of lights, not all lights, but light of light means the sun now is the light of that candle light. Because in the light of the sun, the candle has no meaning. In the light of the day, the glowworm has no meaning. Though in darkness, the glowworm is, it shines bright, just a little speck of light, but it shines bright because there's darkness around, right? So daylight is the light of lights for glowworm. And sunlight, extremely powerful sunlight, is the light of lights for the candle. Now, is there a light of lights for the sun? Or is that the final entity? That is the question. Because of the known, there are five known sources of light, natural light, that we know, we are aware of. One, of course, is the sun. Then there is the moon. Then there is fire. There is lightning. And there is stars. These are the natural sources of light that we have. Okay, and among these five, sun is the brightest. Okay, all right. So sun illumines the entire world. Question is, who validates the sun? So the idea is that if the sun is shining, and say, let's go back to our electricity example first. There is electricity in the condo, but there are no appliances at all plugged in. So is there anybody giving validity to the electricity which is not seen physically? Who is giving validity to the, who is saying actually that there is electricity in the walls is actually the appliances telling me, right? Because when I start that appliance, when I turn the light on or when I turn my computer on, it is turning on, and this appliance cannot work without electricity. So the validity of electricity is that appliance which is being turned on by me. So that way, does the sun have somebody to validate? If you ask that question, the one who is validating the sun is a conscious being. Understand it this way. So like I said, if there are no appliances, will anybody know that whether there is electricity or no electricity in the house? Same way, if there are no living beings on this earth, consider the earth has now become barren. There is no plants, no, just the globe is there. No living beings, no animals. Who is there to say that the sun is shining on the horizon? This idea will also come in chapter 15, and it has already come in you know, the mantra that we chant when we see Swamiji's, na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kutoya magnihi tameva bhanta manubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati. So what is being said is that these lights, these sources are the natural sources of light that we know. But the power behind these lights, these natural sources of light, is the supreme reality. And that's what he'll say in chapter 15, that the light you see in the sun is me. It's because of me that the sun is shining. And what it means is, unless I as a conscious being, or you, any conscious being, validates that there is sun in the horizon, the sun has no validity. Is this point understood? It's a very subtle point. Or is there confusion? Okay. If you go, electricity, do you understand electricity? Nothing is plugged in. Okay, will you know that there is, okay, you know, going back when I was telling you, when I walked into this house for the first time with my keys, so the wiring was done, with my key, when they handed me the keys and I walked in, the way I came to know that there was electricity, because I turned the light on, or I turned the range on, something I turned on, na? Or I opened the fridge, it was working, which told me that there is electricity flowing through the walls here. Is this point understood? Okay, same way. See, you have to remember that the sun is inert. Sun is inert, okay? So somebody else is empowering the sun to give sunlight. And the one who is empowering is the supreme reality. And that is what is meant by light of all lights, all lights. The all lights is referring to the five sources of light. Natural light. Of course, we don't talk about, you know, artificial light, but the natural sources of light, there are five. And if there is no living being on earth, if there is no appliance in the house, there is nobody to vouch for that electricity. Same way, if there is no conscious being on this earth, there is nobody to vouch for the sun. Who is going to say the sun is shining up in the horizon? Who can say that? There is no living being. That means there is no supreme reality anywhere. There is no consciousness anywhere. Yeah.
But Jayaji, last week, didn't we say that the wiring in the wall, or the electricity in the wall, doesn't depend on the appliances to exist? So is the nature of vouching for it, is that for our benefit, or is it?
Yeah. The point is there. Yeah. Because it's an example. Okay. So the electricity, supreme reality, does it need the sun to vouch for the supreme reality? That's the point. No, no. So the supreme reality does not require any vouching for, but the sun does. But the sun does. The sun does. Because who's going to say, if there is no living being, who is going to say that there is sun in the sky? That is what is meant by light of all lights. And that's what in chapter 15, he will say that the light in the sun is me. I am the one that is giving light to the sun. I am the one that is shining behind the moon, behind the stars, behind the fire. The fire also gives out light. There's silence. But how many of you understand this idea? Yes.
If there's no consciousness in the universe, who is going to say the supreme power is there or not? How do you know?
The supreme, there is no need only, no? There is no need. If there is no, there is no need. What is the need? What is the need for somebody to say there is electricity in the walls? What is the need? Is electricity depend? That's the point. Does electricity depend on somebody saying that there is electricity in the wall? Electricity, no problem. You don't recognize me. I have no problem. I am here. You may or may not recognize me. We are talking of the recognition of the sun, which we think is sun is the one that is illuminating the entire world. Question is, who is illuminating the sun? It is the supreme reality in me, that consciousness, that conscious awareness. See, consciousness must not be understood in terms of a light bulb or a light or sunlight. It is awareness. When I become aware that the sun is shining in the horizon, the sun gets validity. Oh yeah, there is sun, because some living being is saying that there is a sun. If there was no living beings here, nobody is there to say that there is a sun. Sun requires validity. Supreme reality doesn't. Electricity doesn't. Electricity doesn't care. If whether you know I'm here or not, what do I care? Because I'm not dependent on you. Appliances care. Appliances will care. Is there electricity? Otherwise, I can't function. Is it understood?
That's why at the time of even pralayam, the awareness exists.
Pralayam aware, yes.
It exists, yes. Totally exists.
Yes. Ultimately, only existence remains. Existence was there before. Anadi mat, we saw already. Anadi mat, what is anadi mat? Existence was there before any creation came about. Existence is there during the creation, when the creation is being experienced, and existence will remain after pralaya as well. That is anadi mat. That is anadi mat. Like I gave you the example, we can unplug all the appliances in this entire building. What is happening to electricity? Nothing. I don't know any, I'm thinking if there's any other simpler method. How many of you have understood this and how many still have a problem? Understood. Okay, raise your hands. Sai, Prem Sai. Good. So, Lata, you have understood. You have been with the mission long enough. Lakshmi? Moini? It's okay? Okay, simplest is, I think that is the simplest way. If there is no appliance, nobody can, if I don't turn the light on, nobody can tell whether there is electricity in my house or no. Just somebody walks in and, oh, is there electricity? No, you don't know. Try turning on an appliance or try turning on the bulb, right? The light. So same way with sun, who is going to say that the sun is, who is saying that the sun is out there? It's a living being. And that living being is empowered by the supreme reality. And therefore, the supreme reality is the light of all lights. This is what is Jyotisham api tat jyotihi. Or among all, in all the lights, I am the light. I am the original light, supreme reality. Okay, tamasa param uchate. Tamasa param uchate means param supreme. Uchate said that it is beyond darkness. Okay, now this has to be understood. Beyond darkness means beyond, if you take it as gunas, tamas, rajas, and sattva is there. Either you can take it as beyond the three gunas. Om in our chart, you know, our Gurudev's chart, up to the vasana level V, it is sattva, rajas, and tamas is there. Okay, but this is beyond sattva, rajas, and tamas all. Om is beyond sattva, rajas, and tamas. Why? Because if we say that supreme reality is very sattvic, you know what happens? Sattva is opposed to rajas and tamas. And the supreme reality must not be understood as opposed to anything. So you cannot call it as sattva, definitely not rajas, and definitely not tamas, darkness, ignorance. But we, so that's why it is beyond sattva. It is the one that is supporting all the three gunas. Sattva, rajas, and tamas are functioning because of the supreme reality. Appliances are functioning because of electricity. So electricity is neither of the appliances. Is electricity the bulb? No. Is electricity computer? No. Is electricity toaster? No. Electricity is none of these, but none of them can function without electricity. All the appliances are dependent on electricity. So all the gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas are dependent on the supreme reality. The supreme reality is beyond all three. Another meaning of tamasa param, it is supreme than tamas, is untouched, uncontaminated by tamas. It's not touched. Tamas is darkness, ignorance. So if you go to the sun, if you land on the sun someday, will you ever see darkness at that point? So you can say that sun is absolutely uncontaminated or untouched by darkness. It is beyond, sun doesn't even know what darkness is. Because wherever the sun is there, the darkness cannot be. So that's why supreme reality is not opposed to darkness. It is supporting darkness. Why? How does it support darkness? Is because when I walk into a very pitch dark room, I am aware of my own presence. How do I know that I'm standing in a dark room where I cannot see anything, where I cannot even see my hand in front of my face? It's a pitch dark room. Don't I know that I'm standing in that room? I may not know where I'm standing, whether I'm near this wall or that wall, or whether I'm near the door, or if I'm standing in front of a shelf or a cupboard or closet or whatever, that I don't know, but I do know that I am in that room. Don't I? That's why we say supreme reality is untouched by the darkness outside. It's untouched. This was meant by tamas param uchate, is said. Uchate is said. Is this clear? You have to understand supreme reality is not being opposed to anything. That's why you cannot call it as sat and you cannot call it as asat. Because sat is opposed to asat and asat is opposed to sat. So if you call supreme reality as sat, it becomes opposite of asat, which it is not. It is the one that is supporting both sat and asat. Like I told you, there is consciousness over here and there is consciousness in you, but in between you and me also there is consciousness. There is no break. That part has to be understood very clearly. Because Bhagwan said, avibhaktam, it is undivided, right? So if I say that there is consciousness here and there's consciousness in you, what about in between? It's broken or what? That means consciousness is broken. If I say there is no consciousness in between you and me, then all pervading nature is negated. Is it too much to swallow? This is clear. This is Nirgun Nirakar we are talking about.
Hi, Jayaji. Yes. Could it be like the space? We See, everything is in the space.
Yes.
And everything has a little bit of space inside.
Yes.
So then we carry space wherever we go, we carry.
Yes.
And space supports us.
Yes.
At the same time, we support it.
We support space. How do we support space?
Inside us.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
That way.
Yeah.
So the light could be same way, the supreme light.
The supreme reality is the same way. Correct.
Yeah, that's correct. What I meant. Okay.
Yes, correct. So there is consciousness within me and there is space within me. And then I move in space also. And like you said, I'm carrying space also and I'm moving in space.
Yes.
Same way. I'm carrying consciousness within me and I'm moving in consciousness. Correct. But you have to understand that it is not space. Consciousness is not space. Space is inert. But it is the closest because that is the first element that came out of Maya, space. That's why space is the closest to the supreme reality. And is the subtlest among the five elements. It is the subtlest. Okay, but consciousness is even subtler than space. That part is to be understood.
Okay, all
right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Jnanam, Neyam, Jnana Gamyam. There are three words here. So Jnanam is referring to the 20-point program that was told, starting from Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Jnanam. There also he said, I'm going to tell you Jnanam. And I told you the word Jnana also means Nyayati anena iti. Nyayati anena iti means that by which I obtain knowledge is also called knowledge in Sanskrit. The means of knowledge is also called as knowledge. So Bhagwan has given the means, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, the virtues, the 20-point program that he gave, the 20 virtues that he gave, he calls it Jnanam because he says that is what will lead you to the real goal, to the supreme reality. So this Jnanam is that 20-point program referring to that, okay? And Neyam is the goal. Because in the question that Arjun asked, Neyam was there, Purusha was there, Kshetradnya was there. So Neyam here is Kshetradnya. So it's the goal. Okay? And Jnana Gamyam. Gamyam is to gain or to get. The word Jnana Gamyam is what is said by words. You have to recognize it by your sharp intellect. Because words can only point, but the realization has to happen within you, which is beyond words. Jnana Gamyam. Okay, so what it is first you follow Jnanam. What is Jnanam? The 20-point program. So you follow, practice the virtues, okay? Then what will happen is your mind will get so purified that what Shruti, what Bhagavad Gita is saying in words, you will come to realize it yourself. And the third step is Neyam. So what will you realize? Whatever that you realize within yourself is Neyam. That is the goal. Is this clear? Three steps. Follow the 20-point program. Then what will happen is mind will get purified enough so that when the words are heard, the comprehension in the mind is correct. See, you know, words are there, but each one takes the meaning of the words as per his own evolution, spiritual evolution. So when the 20-point program is done and the words are then spoken, like light of all lights, avibhaktam, you know, anadimat, beyond sat and asat. When these words are spoken, that understanding will be clear in the intellect. There'll be clarity in the intellect, which will enable you to reach Neyam. Because that is what we are trying to reach, is Neyam. This word was there in verse 1 of in Arjuna's question. Is this about clear? Now, what Bhagwan is saying, Riddhi Sarvasya Vishthitam. This Neyam is located in the heart of all. This is what Bhagavan is saying here. This Riddhi is Hriday, heart. It comes in many Upanishads that the Supreme Reality is located in the hearts of all beings. Now, the question might arise, but you're keeping on saying it's all pervading, it's between you and me, and then it's here and there. And then why this heart is there? Just to drill into us that, yes, Supreme Reality is there everywhere, but if you want to really find it, if you want to really recognize it, you need to go back into your own heart. You cannot look extroverted outside for this Supreme Reality, though it is there. It is there, but you will not find it. And that's why this word Hriday comes very often, many, many Upanishads. And here also he's saying, Riddhi Sarvasya Vishtitam. Vishtitam is, it's seated in the hearts of all. Sarvasya, all beings, all jivas. So it's not just human beings. It's human beings, it's animals, it's plants, it's stones, it's inert kingdom. Everything, chara, achara. Moving and unmoving. Sarvasya here is moving, unmoving. And it is in the hearts of all. How is it in the heart of an inert object? Because now you might think that, oh, but the inert object doesn't even have a heart. No, it is there as existence principle, because that inert object is also existing. The stone is. The dirt is. Okay? The virus is. Virus also is non-living, I'm told. It's not a living being. That's why bacteria cannot catch the virus. So virus is. Is this clear? Any questions?
Jayaji, yeah. Would you say they're just using the heart as a reference? It's just the sentiency illuminates the body, but they're using the heart as to go inside.
Yeah, for us as a pointer, if you want to look for it, then go into your own heart. What does it mean? Because the heart is inside, means go inside. Don't go outside, become introverted. That is the message that is being given wherever this Riddhi, Kathopanishad also says it is in the heart. It is every time they'll say Supreme Reality is found in the hearts of all, in the hearts of all. Then on the other side, we say, oh, it's all pervading, even it's between you and me. Then there is it appears like a contradiction. It is not. This Riddhi word is only used to draw our attention to the fact that you cannot look for it. You cannot be extroverted. Because you see, what will come is, see, we say, oh, there is God in the chair and in the purse and in the photo and in the everything. Okay, then why don't I meditate on the chair and realize God? You're saying God is there now. So why can't I do that? Why can't I meditate on my grandchild? Aha, God is in there too. You can't. That is the point. You can't. You have to recognize God or Supreme Reality within your own heart. So inside.
One question, please.
Yeah.
When we say in Bhakti Yoga that our concentration is on form, and we love that, but it's an external thing. We love it from heart, yes. And our love is pure. And with that thing, we reach somewhere. We realize the oneness with our deity or God. So that is outside. So we don't go in the heart. Heart expresses, yes.
Yeah. But when you meditate, where is that meditation happening? Is the meditation happening in the idol, or is it happening in your mind?
Oh, it's through the idol in the
through
mind.
The idol, okay, in the okay, mind. Agreed. Where? In through the idol, where?
In the mind.
In the mind. And the bhakti, the greatness of bhakti is God will show his oneness with you. God himself will do it for you. That is the importance of bhakti. Bhakta doesn't have, the real bhakta who is really devoted to God doesn't have to do anything. He only keeps loving God, keeps loving. Finally, Bhagwan says, okay, here's you and me are one. And that's it. Bhagwan does all the work for the bhakta. Okay. Jnani, Bhagwan doesn't do.
There are little confusions here and there, because many times we read the stories that like the shivling, we put water or we do pujas and they're just outside thing.
Yeah.
And still the God appears in many stories.
Yeah.
So
in form, he appears in form because that's what the bhakta is asked for, na?
Yeah.
He's a servant, he said. Bhagavad Gita, he said. I'm a servant of the devotee, he said. He didn't say I'm a servant of the jnani.
So isn't that the realization?
No.
Oh, that's not realization.
That's why Ramakrishna Paramhans was told, na? He was talking to her every day.
The mother, yeah.
Divine Mother, he was talking. And then Totapuri came. And then Totapuri said, no. And then he said, okay, let me ask the Divine Mother. So he went back to Mother. He said, this Totapuri is telling me that I should. She said, yes, I have only sent him. Go back to him and do what he is doing, because you must attain that oneness with me, because you don't have that yet. That's when he attained the bliss.
Okay, thank you.
Is this clear up to here? Because now I'm going to go a little bit further in this verse. And so whoever can understand, if you don't quite follow what I'm going to say after this, then it's okay. This verse in the Yajna setting, it's complete. Okay.
In the Yajna, we had that Swamiji did not too long ago through Vancouver. He said the bhakta has to come to the point, they come to a point where they have to have knowledge.
He has to have knowledge?
Eventually, after devotion, they come to a point where you have to have knowledge.
Correct. To experience the bliss.
Yes. So it just doesn't happen. That's not what he explained.
Well, it just doesn't happen means obviously he has loved the God so much.
Yes, but after a point, in the intellect, he has to get some kind of a knowledge to understand where
the next step. Correct. So to see the oneness.
It happens and you realize.
Yeah.
That's what I understand.
What the bhaktas say and what bhakti shastra says, that God will do that for you. Because so much this devotee has loved God so much that finally God says, okay, that's what I told you. The Divine Mother said, I have sent Totapuri. So who is doing this now? Was it an accident that Totapuri came to Ramakrishna Paramahansa? He's one of the greatest devotees, greatest tantric. Oh, if you read his biography, holy smokes. He has realized God through Christianity, through Muslim, and therefore he has done a harmony of religions. So that's the point. Totapuri comes to him and says, yes, you talk to the Divine Mother, but you need to understand your oneness with her. That's when you will experience the bliss. So Ramakrishna goes back to the Divine Mother. He says, this is what he's saying. What should I do? And she says, I have sent him because you have to experience that oneness. So go back to him and do what he's telling you. But I have sent him.
Yeah. And that's for everything.
Yeah.
That's for everything.
Not for Nani, Bhagwan doesn't say. Because Nani is meditating on his own on these things.
But the when realization comes, it comes because of whether you do it through devotion or meditation, it happens.
Because of the grace.
Grace. That's what I'm saying. The grace, but the individual has to
work. Correct. So either the work is put through love, and what is love? Surrender, complete surrender, or the work is put through viveka and vairagya and dispassion, right? So work is inevitable. Work is inevitable. There is which type of work you're capable of. Are you capable of loving your Ishta Devata that much that you have complete surrender? You don't worry about anything. Then do it. Do it, because Bhagavan will take care of you. All right?
Jayaji, this is Manju is calling. Mm-hmm. I would like to know what is the natural five sources, sun, moon, and fire, And
sun, moon, stars, fire, and light. Sorry, sun, moon, fire, lightning, and stars. Lightning is there, na?
Okay. Thank you.
Natatra Surya Bhatina Chandra Tarakam. Yeah, stars. Chandra Moon Tarakam. Natatra Surya Bhatina Chandra Tarakam. Nema Vidyuto Bhanti Kutoyag. Vidyat is lightning and Agni is fire. So those are the five sources. Okay. Any further doubts? Okay. Now let's see this Riddhi Sarvasya Vishtitam. Okay. We have understood that it is in the heart. How do I go about recognizing this? So this is the method that I'm going to give. Even if you find a little bit difficult to understand, then that's fine. It's not difficult, but if some of you find it's okay, because this Bhagwan has not given the method here, but we give it as an explanation, because Bhagwan is saying here, you follow the 20-point program by which your mind will be purified enough. So the words which I am saying will be very clear in your intellect, because of which you will reach Nayam, which is the final goal. And that Nayam is seated in the hearts of all, means that Nayam is seated in your own heart. End of explanation. This much is clear. This much has to be clear. It's clear, right? And then it's the light of all light. So the light behind the sun and the moon and the stars, everything. And it is untouched, uncontaminated by the impurities, by darkness. Okay, like the sun can never be touched by darkness. Can darkness ever touch sun? It can't, because wherever the sun is, darkness cannot be. There is a story, actually. Darkness complained to Brahmaji and went to Brahmaji and said, whenever this sun is very bad, and whenever this sun comes, then I have to run. You know, why is he doing that? Like, why does the sun do that? Because he frightens me, and he comes and then I have to run. So Brahmaji said, okay, let me call sun and ask him why he's doing it. So he called the sun. He said, why are you doing this? Why are you frightening darkness? Why are you making darkness run? Then sun said, but Brahmaji, what is darkness? You tell me first. Then I will tell you why I make it run. I don't even know what darkness is. How do I make it run? It's untouched by darkness. Okay, so let's see. Riddhi Sarvasya Vishtita, how do I do this? In my life, in everybody's life, there are three things only. You might think, oh, no. In my life, there are many, I've got many relatives. I've got many, things. I've got many cars. I've got many houses. No. These three are, one is the world of objects, which falls under the category of experienced, like Gurudev would say, experienced. So there is this world of objects, which is experienced. Then there is me, who is the experiencer. This is how Gurudev would say it, experiencer. So there is ER. And then in between the experiencer and the experienced is what is happening, is the ing, experiencing, ing. There's only, there are, that's it. There is, nobody's life has got anything other than this. What is experienced, it could be different. I could be experiencing different things. You are experiencing different things, varieties. But all of it, all of this world of objects, which includes even the body, falls under experienced, which is being experienced by the experiencer. So there is an experiencing going on. I have to go Riddhi Sarvasya Vishtitam. So I have these three things. Okay, so the experienced is the grossest, and I can work on the experienced the easiest. The easy, these three points, this is a triad. In the Nayam, this triad merges. I have to merge the triad. That is the whole point of sadhana, is to merge the triad. If I have to merge the triad, the easiest thing, the easiest point to work on is the experienced, ED. That is the easiest. And what I have to do is devalue it. No matter what I experience in this world, I have to devalue. And how do I devalue it? Why am I putting value on the world of objects? Is because I think that I cannot live without it. That is the value that I have put. I cannot live without my car. I cannot live without my house. I cannot live without my spouse. I cannot live without my children. I cannot live without my money, my clothes, my books, whatever. So there is a dependency. What it is I am a slave to all these objects. To the experienced, I am a slave. I need to change that. That is the easiest. So the way to change that, if I don't want to be a slave and I want to be a master, then I have to make the experienced a slave. What does that mean? That means I am not dependent on the experienced. If it is there, fine. If it is not there, no sweat off my back. It is like electricity saying, you want to plug in a toaster, you plug in. If you don't plug in, no problem. So number one thing to do is reduce dependency on objects. That is what is making you, you're putting value on it then. That's why the, you know, family is closest. That's why, you know, people get worried about their family, but they don't worry about other people's families. So that is number one. Second thing is the experiencing, right? The experiencing, note the point that this experiencing changes. See, there is, which we have given example many times. There is something that I like, okay? What is the guarantee that I'm going to like that after 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? Or, you know, Gurudev's example, if I were to give you, yes, I enjoyed the first gulab jam and the first five I enjoyed, but on the 50th one, I'm throwing up. So the experiencing goes up and down. It changes. So don't bother about it. Don't bother about it. Now that brings us to the experiencer. I have reduced my dependency on the experienced. So it doesn't bother me whether it is there or not there. I am saying it doesn't bother me. Experiencing, I have come to know that, oh, this thing gave me pleasure at this point, but right now it is not giving me any pleasure. So what is happening is the experiencing is going up and down. Means sometimes I enjoy the experience and sometimes I don't. Why bother about experiencing? So drop that. Now we come to the experiencer, and the experiencer is actually, who is the experiencer? Understand that it is the ego. It is not the supreme reality, which is the experiencer. Supreme reality is without antakarana rahita. So it doesn't have a mind. So we have the mind, which we think is very, very real. And in that mind is the ego, which has got great importance, gives, it likes to get importance. So what happens is we baby the ego. So when I experience something, so, oh, I'm hurt, so, or 10 people calling, you know, she said this to me and now I'm hurt. You know, I've done so much, but nobody else is doing any work. You know, this is what is babying the ego. So what you have to do is devalue the ego. You have to devalue the ego. So every time the ego lifts its, my father used to say ego is like a snake. Okay, it comes up and it'll bite you. So when every time it raises its head saying, oh, I'm so hurt, she didn't say hello to me. I am so this, you know, I am so good and I help everybody, but nobody helps. And, you know, I am devoted and everybody in the temple is talking, but I was listening to the servant. You kill the head of that snake. The ego is to be hammered, hammered, hammered. Beat it, beat it, beat it, devalue it. Say, shut up, ego, shut up, shut up, shut up. Until a point where you will reach the name, because the ego is actually nothing but the name. It is the kshetrajnya. But identified with the mind, identified with the body, this ego starts acting up. And we baby it, because immediately 10 people will call, or a, this is what happened. See how cute my grandson is? Photo? See how he may be ugly, but you know, ego. Did you see how my grandchild did the puja? Did you notice how good she was doing it? She's only 6 years old and she's done the puja herself. Ego. So when these thoughts come, don't say them. They will come. It's very hard for the thought not to come. Okay? Don't say them. So devalue the ego. That is the way to this riddhi sarvasya vishthitam. That is the way to the heart. Because in the heart, in the mind is the ego, and that is where the supreme reality is actually. But because the ego is so overpowering and we are a slave of our own ego and we like to baby our ego, you know, we baby our ego. So we should stop babying the ego. That's how you'll merge the triad. That's all there is. You merge the triad. And please understand that in the experienced is your own body also, huh? That is also your body is being, so that's why, you know, when any little thing happens to the body, it's like, ha ha, hoo hoo, you know, blah, blah, blue, blue, I'm getting old, this, all. Even the thought will come, you must not voice it. That is the first stage. Don't voice it, don't talk about it. If you get hurt, let it slide. You know, that's what I was, see, there is WhatsApp groups, will tell you how this is. So there are forwards like left, right, and center. Now, sometimes what happens is that one forward has, all of you must have experienced this, that one forward will come to you 2-3 times, you know? Okay. Now, even to me, it comes. Okay. So you just let it slide. In my opinion, okay. Oh, this video I've seen. I need not see it. I can delete it. Or I need not see it. Just ignore it. Let it slide. Now, what happened was 2 days ago, we have a group of 4 people. One lady sent something. Immediately, my other friend said, this is the third time that I have received this in a single day. This is making its round and blah, 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 blah. That other lady felt so bad, my other friend. And I know she's very sensitive. So I immediately wrote, I said, you know what? Really, it's okay. Forward is a method of sort of connecting with people. That's how I think it is. And right now in this isolation mode that we are in, it's nice to connect via WhatsApp. So what if the video came 2-3 times? So what? Let it slide. That is babying the ego. What my other friend did is babying the ego. He's babying his ego. You know, so that sort of thing, you know, I have received many, many forwards, which are, and I sometimes, you know, that read more. There's such a, I'm like, do I really want to read this? But I never tell them, and whoever is sending it, I never tell them that, please don't send me these things or that thing. Or that. They send, okay, I read, and I'm like, okay, I'm not interested in this topic. Leave it. Let it slide. Let things slide. You know, how water slides off the duck's back. We have to learn to just slide. It's okay. Somebody said something, somebody hurt me, somebody this thing, that thing, let it slide. Because the more we take it to ourselves, it is babying. We are babying and we are strengthening the ego. We're strengthening the ego, and that's exactly what we don't want to do. Okay, is this verse clear? All right, let's go. 19th is his concluding. Iti kshetram tatha jnanam neyam choktam samasataha madbhakta etad vidnyaya madbhavayopapadyate. Thus the field as well as the knowledge and the knowable have been briefly stated. My devotee knowing this enters into my being. So Bhagwan is now concluding, because he's going from 20 onwards, he's going to start a different topic of creation, and we'll see that. But here, so he says, because what was asked was kshetra and kshetradnya. So here he's using the words kshetram and jnanam. Jnanam is neya. Here jnanam is not the 20-point program. It is the goal. It is neyam. It is kshetradnya. So kshetradnyam, neyam, samasata. In brief, I have explained, because he explained kshetra in verse 5 and 6. And then he went on to give the 20-point program. And then he explained from 13 to 18 verses was this full Kshetradnya explanation. Okay, our electricity and appliance. Is that clear? And then the question is, how does one get his, he says, the one who is devoted to me, who loves me, enters into my being. Enters into my being means recognizes his oneness with me. Okay, he recognize, you can say he recognizes oneness, or I make him recognize the oneness, whichever way, that is what he's saying here. So he concludes here. My devotee, knowing this, enters into my being. Means means this 20-point program, when you follow, and then the words become very clear, then you realize that supreme reality to be within your heart. And one of the methods that I'm telling you, is to devalue. So you devalue the experienced world so that you reduce your dependence on it. I cannot live without sugar in the tea. I cannot live without sweets. I should reduce my dependence on sweets, especially now. Comfort food, chips, comfort food. So whatever you think you cannot live, okay, and I'll tell you how you can do it. That is where tapas is. So if you think that you cannot live without a certain thing, actually force yourself to live without it. Force yourself for one day. So what you can start off is like one day fast. So you can suppose if you're very fond of chocolates, then you can say, okay, this is my fast day. And this day, one day in the week, I will not touch chocolates. You can start small, you know, and then increase it. That is tapas. That way you reduce your dependency on objects of the world. And then the experiencing, realize that, okay, this thing I enjoyed so much, but now I don't enjoy it anymore. So why pay that much attention to the experiencing? So that you devalue. Then you come to the experiencer, which at this stage is, means it is, and not at this stage, at every stage, it is only the ego. That's why anything, when you say, I am hurt, I'm worried, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm intelligent, I'm done. All that is the locus is the ego. So don't, you know, devalue the ego, devalue your own ego. And then when that ego dies, what will remain is the supreme reality. And therefore this, and Mad Bhakta love, if you have love for the knowledge or love for God or love for whatever, love for peace, I would say, if you want peace of mind, try to follow this. It'll help. It doesn't make you upset with little things. You need to just let them slide. You can't. Major battles, yeah, you can, this thing, but not little things like somebody forwarding 2-3 times this thing. Are there any questions? Next time we'll start with this thing, and next time we're going to start with another example for you to understand what is being said further than this, because topic of chapter 13 is over. The question has been answered. The question that Arjun asked in verse 1 has now been answered in 19, verse 19. And from 20, he's going to start a theory of creation. No questions? So I'm going to quickly tell you.
Just a comment. So we talked about recognizing oneness with God.
Yeah.
It's Padmaja. So also involves recognizing oneness with others, other beings as well, right?
Immediately it will come. You recognize your oneness with the self, and immediately you will recognize your oneself as the substratum of all the other beings and the world as well. That is simultaneous. It's like just pinching one grain of rice in the whole bowl of rice. You know that one grain is cooked, the whole bowl is cooked. It's simultaneous. But don't try to do it the other way. Don't try to recognize your oneness with the world. And that, no, that won't work. So you recognize your one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
So there's 6 minutes. I'm going to tell you an example and then you guys can think about it. Okay, because that's the example that I'll be using after this.
That's towards the end, Jayaji.
Sorry?
When you start recognizing the one with everything, that's towards the end. It takes a long time to get there.
Yeah, you have to recognize your oneness with the Lord first.
First, yeah.
And then simultaneously, you will recognize your oneness with the world. Okay, so I'll tell you a story that Gurudev used to tell. So there was a man who lived in a village and he had never seen an ocean before. You know, it was landlocked. He was born and brought up in the village, homegrown. So once he got a chance to come to Bombay, and I say Bombay because this is Gurudev's story. So it was Bombay at that time, not Mumbai. So anyway, so he got a chance to come to Bombay and was totally excited because he had heard that there is ocean in Bombay. There is from Bombay, you can see the ocean. So he came to his friend's house and he said, the first thing that we have to do tomorrow morning is for me to see the ocean. So you need to take me to the ocean. So the friend said, that's not a problem. We've got so many beaches and not a problem at all. So he takes him to those who are from Bombay, Chowpatty, Juhu, Mud Island, Nariman Point. Okay. So he takes him to Chowpatty. And the friend says, where is the ocean exactly? And the man from Bombay says, we are standing here on the beach. That's where the ocean is. He says, no, that's not the ocean. He says, I'm telling you, don't you believe me? We are on the beach. This is the ocean. He says, no, but I see only water. Okay. So now let's take the example of ocean. In the ocean, there are waves. Right? Every ocean, there are waves. Okay. So if you want to bring the ocean home, and you take a bucket and you take ocean and come back home in the bucket, then what do you find in the bucket? Water, right? You don't find the ocean, you find water. Okay, so somebody else says, I don't want the ocean, I want the waves. Oh, the waves are so beautiful. I should take the waves home. So he goes and he picks up a wave in his bucket or whatever, brings it home. And what does he find? What is in the bucket? Water, right? Okay, so there is water and the water itself appears as the ocean and the water itself appears as the wave. Clear? Clear? Okay, if this example is clear, then you will understand the next verses very easily. So remember this example of ocean, of water, ocean, and wave. And understand that the essence of the ocean and the essence of the wave is nothing but water. Okay? All right. So with this, I will stop here and we will start. We will go next time. I just wanted to... When is the last class, Monday class? December 7th, can we have it, or 14th, I have, I think I should be back in time. I have a medical appointment at 4, so I think I should be okay by 6:30. Okay, we'll just think about it. Okay, so when we end the class for Christmas. Okay, so everybody okay? I shall close. Om Swasti Prajabhyav Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Go Brahmanebhya Shubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshatu Parjanyaha Prithivisasya Shalini Desho Yamkshobarahitaha Brahmana Santu Nirbhayaha Om Sarvesham Swasti Bhavatu Sarvesham Shantir Bhavatu Sarvesham Purnam Bhavatu Sarvesham Mangalam Bhavatu सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत् ॐ असतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ Thank you, everybody. I shall see you next Monday.
Thank you, Jayaji.
Thank you.